Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I'm great and glad that I don't have the same relationship I have with my sisters-in-law that Homer does, because I could not lift them. I'm surprised Homer can, to be honest.
I 110% agree with you. Hey guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all our bonus content, bonus monthly bonus episodes, weekly episode reviews. We're going to, over the summer, while there are no new episodes, we will be switching over to doing some King of the Hill reviews. Because it was a show that ran sort of concurrently with The Simpsons for a very long time. We were both curious about it because we've never watched the whole thing. So while The Simpsons are on hiatus, on break, we will be doing that. When it comes back, we'll go back to it. And plenty of other stuff.
Plus, we both live in the South, so you know, it'll be funny to poke fun at ourselves.
Yes.
And our families.
You know, me and Matt, true Southerners. Southern pride. You can also help us out going to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe. All those good things really helps us out. Get new listeners to the show. Tell people about it. We love it. This week's episode, Homer vs. Patty and Selma, episode 2F14, originally aired February 26th, 1995, written by Brent Forrester. This is his first episode. He also wrote Lemon of Troy and Homer Palooza.
So basically, he's got a hell of a track record.
Well, and he's written lots and lots and lots of other television, and he was also a producer. He does lots of TV stuff. This episode, directed by Mark Kirkland, finished 38th in the ratings for the week. Nielsen rating of 11.1, approximately 10.6 million viewing households. Third highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills 90210 and Married with Children. Third, better than fifth.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I mean, Married with Children I can kind of understand, even though I feel like the audience for The Simpsons and Married with Children tended to overlap a lot.
Maybe we should be, instead of King of the Hill, we should do Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, God, no. I would quit this podcast so fast.
Oh, come on, man.
Not watching that trash.
Trash? You hear this,
hey,
folks?
We all know the only real teen drama is The OC. Come on, now.
Chalkboard gag. I remember to take my medication, that's good advice, honestly. You should.
That's right. Take that focus in.
Or whatever your prescribed medication, you should probably take it. Couch gag. They transport in Star Trek style. Or out?
Ooh.
I forget which one it was.
I believe it's in, because they're coming into the couch.
Right, okay, okay. It's good. Star Trek's good. Simpsons are good. Both those things together, good.
It's like the Reese cup of entertainment.
Did you say Reese?
Sorry, Reese's cup. My bad.
It's possessive, Matt. Come on.
He
owns those peanut butter cups.
He owns every peanut butter cup.
Episode guest stars.
I have my cold dead fingers.
Mel Brooks as himself, and Susan Sarandon as the ballet teacher, who I don't think is ever identified by name.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Episode begins with Homer and the crew, you know, Lenny, Carl, Barney, Moe, all celebrating at Moe's with cigars for Homer's great investments. They want to know what suddenly got Homer rolling in dough.
Hey, Homer, how come you got money to burn? Or singe, anyway.
Yeah, Homer, what's your secret investment?
Take a guess.
Pumpkins?
Yeah, that's right, Barney. This year I invested in pumpkins. They've been going up the whole month of October, and I got a feeling they're going to peak right around January. And bang! That's when I'll cash in.
To Homer and the Sergeant Pepper, who is growing out of the middle of your back.
Bon, you gotta unwrap the plastic before you smoke these.
I did not know that cigar plastic was hallucinogenic. I just figured it would make you pass out.
Not for Barney. He's pretty hardy. You know, he's abused himself a lot of chemicals, so it makes him hallucinate.
Okay, that makes more sense. Barney's a special case, though.
Yeah, he's special. But Homer, unfortunately, you'd think you'd sell your pumpkin investments near or around Halloween, or at least Thanksgiving.
Because that's off the pumpkin pies you made.
Yeah, but after that, I think you can, sell your pumpkin in futures, which I'm not sure if that's a thing you can invest in real life. They have pumpkin futures.
More than likely, that's true, but generally, futures contracts have an end date, and at that end date, you get delivered a bunch of pumpkins. So if Homer never got around to selling them, he probably would have gotten a whole bunch of pumpkins at some point.
They don't pay off in January, which is when Homer does try and sell off his futures. Yeah, January, not a big market for pumpkins.
Not really, no. Everyone's tired of squash by then.
But because of this, Homer, he invested a lot of money in his pumpkins. And so, apparently. Yeah, and because of that, he needs money to pay off the mortgage, right? That is what the debt is, correct?
Yeah, well, the IOU is for one mortgage payment. So
right.
Apparently it was enough that he could not pay one mortgage payment.
Yeah, he needed one mortgage payment. And that is kind of the crutch of this episode. The gist of it is that he needs the money. And concurrently, Hattie and Selma are visiting. It's a special occasion because they've got a promotion, right?
Yes.
Yes, at the DMV.
To some spot where they're still working at Windows, so it's not much of a promotion, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's...
They probably got promoted from regular driving tests to the professional driving test since they give Homer his limo thing. And obviously you have to know more for like a commercial driver's license. So
but
that must be what it is.
That must be it. Homer comes home to them. They immediately insult him, and he is having none of it.
We had a deal. Your sisters don't come here after 6, and I stop eating your lipstick.
This is a special occasion. Patty and Selma just got promoted at the DMV.
Yeah, Homer. Let your wife have a glimpse of success for once.
All right. That's the last straw. Time to take out the trash. But first, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I'm sorry. Homer doesn't mean to be rude. He's just a very complicated man.
Wrong!
That's still one of my favorite little less than a second gags in all of The Simpsons. Wrong! Smashes a plate on his head.
Homer's a very complicated man. No, Marge, I don't think Homer is that complicated. But, you know, frankly, I wouldn't put up with, you know, people just coming into my house immediately insulting me. I struggle.
Is it that exasperating?
I don't know. I just struggle with Patty and Selma being so like so vehemently angry, especially when it, I don't know, that's my one problem complaint with this episode is that they just are like vindictive and angry for no real reason.
They just don't like Homer's personality essentially, which, you know, I mean, they're the OGs, even before Frank Grimes came along, was like, you totally don't deserve all this. Patty and Selma were saying that since like season 2.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, I thought they had kind of, I don't know, it felt by this point in the show, they'd kind of gotten to the point where they at least had an uneasy relationship, but they, you know, tried to keep the peace for Marge, and mm-hmm. This episode just seems to kind of, I don't know, destroy all that. But Homer tries to make, he's trying to come up with ways to make the money, the additional money. He has a dream about an invention.
Which I don't think would have paid off in time for his mortgage payment, but I could be wrong.
No, it's not. But the dream involves him trying to figure out what exactly he invented that made him rich.
Congratulations, Mr. Simpson. This invention of yours has made us all rich, especially you. It's simple yet ingenious, and it fits right in the palm of your hand. Every person in America now owns one of these, and in many cases, 3 or 4.
Could I just get a look at that?
No, why would you need to see it? You're the genius who invented the product in question.
But could I just...
Now, don't worry. You'll get to see it just as soon as we unveil our new ad campaign.
Let me see. Out of the way.
Homer, wake up. There's still a few minutes till our usual bedtime.
No, my invention.
His invention.
The funniest part of that for me by far is Marge going, there's still a few minutes before our usual bedtime, so let me wake you up.
Just, you know, keep to our routine, of course. We cut to the B plot, basically, where Bart and Milhouse are just walking to school, and Milhouse really wants to get to school in time, and Bart is like, no, it's all fine, we'll take our time. And it's like it lingers on them for a while. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, because they're each trying to see who could be the slowest in getting to school. I love Milhouse's little, when he finally hears the bell, he's like, truant, truant, they'll call us. Because no one has used the word truant since like 1972.
Come on, truancy officer. That's a thing.
I'm sure somewhere, but I've never heard of a truancy officer in modern day.
I don't know. I've heard the words.
Probably in something that was produced before 1972.
Oh, before is that a hard date?
Indeed, that's when truancy stopped being a word anyone ever used.
If I go to Wikipedia and search truancy, this term was used until the year 1972, until after that. But
when it was outlawed,
they lingered
by the grammar police.
They linger on them because it is to heighten the drama of elementary school PE picking day.
Yeah, I don't know in what kind of school they got to pick their PE, but we were definitely mandated. It was very much a dictatorship in PE class.
Yeah, Skinner makes the announcement.
Attention students, it's time once again to choose a gym class for the coming term, so let's all prove how adult we can be by filing to the gym in a calm and orderly manner. Even though it's first come, first serve, and the most popular sports fill up fast.
Uglier every year. Any sign of Bart and Milhouse?
No. And if they don't get here soon, it'll be TS for them.
I don't feel right.
poor Ralph. TS stands for tethered swimming. If you were keeping track, that's Ralph at the end. Tethered swimming, which seems torturous. But
it's like those little pools they have now that are just like one body length long and you just swim. But forever. It was, you know, the less technological equivalent.
Yeah. We see Homer trying to get a loan from Mo, who is a loan shark who wants to pre-break Homer's legs because Homer does not have collateral. Not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the exact opposite of how a loan shark works. They don't require collateral and then they break your legs. If you break the legs in advance, they don't really have a reason to pay you back.
But Bart finally does get to school and realizes that, oh no, it's PE picking day, I guess. I don't know what this... If anyone had this at their school, let us know. Because I didn't get to... We just had a PE class, you know? You just went... You did a thing. You ran laps or whatever. You played.
You jumped ropes and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I didn't get to go, oh, I'm going to play football. You play football after school.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No fun sports. Fun sports are dangerous.
Yeah, Bart, and expensive, honestly. I think that's the even bigger thing. Bart is stuck with ballet and not too happy about it, I guess, because, you know, it's a girl's sport.
It's a girl's sport.
Girl's sport. Except, it's strangely enough, it's called a girl's sport, but the only ballet dancer I think anyone can name is Brishnikov, and that is a dude. Which they even actually name drop him later on. Homer goes to the bank to try and, I don't know, negotiate a way out of his mortgage payments. And they're having none of it.
I need another extension on my mortgage payments.
I understand that, Mr. Simpson, but according to our computer, your credit history is not good. It says here that you've been pre-declined for every major credit card. It also says that you once grabbed a dog by the hind legs and pushed him around like a vacuum cleaner.
That was in the third grade.
Well, it all goes on your permanent record. I'm sorry, but if you don't come up with that money by tomorrow, the bank is going to take your house.
Well, good luck finding it, because I'm going to take the numbers off tonight.
Well, we'll look for the house with no numbers.
And I'll take off the numbers on my neighbor's house.
So, well, then we'll look for the house next to the house with no numbers.
It's foolproof logic.
It really is. Now, the thing is, they didn't have Google Maps back then, so they didn't get the opportunity to knock down the wrong house, thanks to Google Maps. Or foreclose the wrong house, I guess, in this case. That's only happened a few dozen times.
I think it's probably... They probably still had those issues before Google Maps.
Probably. Although, as we learned during the housing crisis, it takes a lot longer than... They would start to foreclose his house as soon as he missed one mortgage payment, but it would take them a couple years to actually get around to actually taking the house.
The squat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in some states, you just have to stay there for 6 months to a year, and it's totally yours.
Loss. Homer, he is on his last chance, last opportunity, Hail Mary, and he goes to Patty and Selma to pay his mortgage payment. And they agree with nefarious laughter.
The evil laughter.
And then Homer starts laughing with them, which, because he does not understand that they are laughing nefariously.
At his expense, essentially.
At his expense, yes. He just starts laughing because they're laughing. And that is when we go to a commercial.
When we come back, we see the Simpsons at dinner, and they are having steak, which for a family that just missed a mortgage payment seems a bit extravagant, but hey, at least not Chubb. Homer,
what was it? Chubb, we got some Chubb night, right? Right, Matt?
Exactly. Remember, steak night becomes Chubb night.
Remember those days of Chubb night? What is Chubb?
Yes, they've ever actually had Chubb. Well, I think we looked it up when that actually happened.
We did. I
think it was some awful piece of meat.
No, there's literally it literally is on the, I put in my search bar, what is Chubb? And there's actually an old news group posting that says, what is Chubb?
Back when the internet was young and there was no Wikipedia to tell us what Chubb was.
Round grooved ends found on luncheon meat.
Ooh. Anyway, Homer is very excited because, you know, obviously with the loan from Patty and Selma, he was able to make the mortgage payment and is no longer in dire financial straits. So he decides to tilt his chair in appreciation for his situation. At this point, however, Patty and Selma stop by because now that Homer owes them, they feel they have the right to just drop by whenever. And Homer is not too happy about this.
We thought we'd stop by unexpectedly for dinner. Now bring us some extra chairs, like a good blubber-in-law.
Time to fertilize the lawn. A couple of 500-pound bags should do it.
Be careful with my sister's heads. Their necks are brittle.
That's okay, Marge. Nothing's broke, except Homer.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means...
It means these two fabulous babes are staying for dinner.
Now there's a stink I could have done without.
Okay, first of all, I would like to say that stopping by for dinner when you're not expected is extremely rude, even for Patty and Selma, because, you know, there might not be enough food to go around. So they're essentially stealing food from the children's mouths. So, you know.
They are, like, it's not even, like, I understand it's all just to put pressure on Homer, but their actions are kind of extraordinarily mean. Like, it's not even just a little bit. It's, like, it's very mean. It's very, like, it stretches credibility a little bit, and I don't know.
Credulity?
Is that what I was looking for? Maybe that's what I was looking for. Credulity. That's a good word. I don't know. My complaint with this episode is, like, at this point, Patty and Selma are, like, they're more fully fledged characters, you know, of the supporting cast. They've we've had time with them, so making them, like, cartoonishly villainous at points, it makes it, I don't know, it hurts the episode.
Well, we talk about Jerk Homer a lot, and I feel like it's kind of the same thing, where, like, they're horrifically mean for really no other reason than because the plot requires it. I mean, usually they're kind of jerks about stuff, but in this episode, they really go above and beyond.
Yeah, like, there's a difference between being passive-aggressively, like, mean, and then dismissive. Being just outright, like, hey, just, like, here, we're gonna insult you in front of your face, then we're gonna, like, pay for your debt and then lord it over you, and like it is like Burns level cartoonish villainy.
Exactly. But at this point, Patty and Selma remind Homer of his debt, and he, you know, like we saw, he gets very quickly to having them stay for dinner. At this point, Marge walks into Homer and Patty and Selma's conversation and says she's going to make coffee because it's been such a nice night, because, you know, Homer is having to be extremely obsequious. But Patty and Selma, well, they take it to the next level when they say that Homer is going to give them a foot rub, to which Homer almost dies. And then it says he's going to give them a foot massage, which that's rough, man. That has got to be really, really bad.
Frankly, it could be worse.
It could be worse, but anyway, we then cut to our B plot once again with Bart in ballet class. We have Susan Sarandon as the teacher, who's being basically the strict Russian ballet woman, basically a stereotype. Bart obviously doesn't want to be there. He says this, but eventually I don't know if she wins him over or not, but she says that Bart is a fairy. But he could have been a queen, but she assigned him to be a fairy instead.
Of course.
One of the best lines in this whole back and forth is Bart saying that he doesn't want to be in ballet class, and the ballet teacher says, but so many of your heroes wear tights, like Batman or Magellan. because we all know how much kids love Magellan.
I love Magellan. He is the fifth turtle.
sorry.
It's the fifth Ninja Turtle his weapon is a.
Just throwing stars.
Yes, he has thousands of throwing stars that he pulls from another dimension.
Exactly. But it turns out that Bart is actually really good at ballet. We've seen that Bart is pretty athletic in other instances, and apparently that extends to ballet because he is really good and turns out to actually love it. He even declares that. We then see Homer with Patty and Selma at home again, and in this case, Homer, well, I think I can capture the whole clip so you guys can hear it.
Am I wrong, or did it just get fatter in here?
Request permission to slink by.
Permission pending. First, light our cigarettes.
But you're already smoking cig... You're really pushing it.
Come on, Homer. You can't spell obsequious without I-O-U.
I'll have to trust you on that.
Well, Marge was always a good speller. Let's ask her.
No! Don't tell Marge. I'll be good.
Just for that. You have to crawl around on the floor like the dog you are.
But you... Yes, ma'am.
Now say, I am Homer Simpson, the lowly dog, in a dog's voice.
I am Romer Rumpin.
Well, good. Jump, Homer, jump. What's going on in here?
Rumpin, 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 Rump.
What's that paper?
What paper?
And then at the end, we see that Homer has actually a written out IOU to Patty and Selma that flies on top of a lamp, and we get to see it's projected onto the ceiling, so Marge now knows exactly what has happened. I love when Marge is confirming this. She says, is this projection accurate?
Yes.
Just the weirdest thing to say, which is what makes it great. Of course, at this point, Homer is just absolutely enraged at Patty and Selma, because I believe one of the terms was that Marge was not allowed to know about the dead. So, of course, he goes absolutely ape poop on them and then throws them out onto the lawn, like literally tosses, and it actually gets Marge in there, which he apologizes for and brings her back in. Homer is, of course, ashamed at not being able to provide for his family, but Marge says it'll be okay, and we fade to black.
I appreciate you staying PG, Matt.
Thank you. I try hard.
Yeah, I can tell. Bart is, at this point, I guess, fully, like, in ballet. Like, he's using the terms. He is drinking tab, which I know that is more of a... I didn't even know tab was a big thing in the 90s. I thought tab was like an 80s.
That's what I thought as well. It was like what Diet Coke was or something.
It was before. I mean, you can still buy tab now. It's just not many people drink it because it doesn't taste very good. But Bart, Bart is not afraid. He learns he's going to have to perform in front of the school. And we see exactly why Bart is afraid of this.
See that? I started to do like a little arabesque, but then I just fully went for it and pulled off the demi-entrechamp. Not that I'm into that kind of thing.
Bravissimo, Bart! Next week, class gives its first recital, and you will dance the Merlin.
Dance in front of my whole school? What is it with you and ballet?
I know you have great conflict, Bart.
You love ballet, yet you fear the boys will laugh at you, no?
No, I fear the girls will laugh at me. I fear the boys will beat the living snot out of me.
That is accurate.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that is exactly the fear. Homer is trying to find a job to pay off his debt so that he doesn't have to have Patty and Selma lording it over him anymore. He's looking at the newspaper to do so.
Hey, Dad, what you doing?
Daddy has very important work to do. He's looking through the want ads to find a part-time job.
Dad, that's a gag paper we got at the carnival.
Oh, no wonder I didn't hear about Bart being elected world's greatest sex machine. Oh, I'll never pay off that debt.
Need money fast? Got no experience? Step up to elegance. Become a limo driver at Classy Joe's.
That's it. I'll make money with a chauffeur job. Good thing you turned on that TV, Lisa.
I didn't turn it on. I thought you turned it on.
No. Well, anyway, turn it off.
It is off.
I had to include the X-Files music, the random X-Files music. Bart is performing. He wears a mask so that no one can recognize him. But
of course,
the crowd loves him.
That spiky-haired masked dancer is really something. I wonder who he is.
He's graceful, yet masculine. So it's okay for me to enjoy this.
This reminds me of the movie Fame, and to a lesser extent, the TV series, which was also called Fame.
Which was also called Fame.
I mean, that is accurate. We cut to Homer perform. He is a limousine driver. I would think they would have. The limo company would want him to be adequately licensed to do
such
a
thing.
You think
so, but...
it's Springfield. But he has Mel Brooks as a passenger. And Homer wants him to do the 2,000-pound man thing.
Which I've never heard of.
I'd call it a comedy routine, I guess, of it, the 2,000-year-old man. He did with Carl Reiner, which he mentions in this episode, where he would pretend to be a 2,000-year-old man and they would just do like bits around that. Like they would ask him questions and Mel Brooks would just like kind of improvise stuff. It was originally in 1961, so a little bit before our time.
Back when comedy sucked?
Nah, it wasn't. It's still funny. It's just, you know.
I'm kidding. It's Mel Brooks. It could never be bad.
I don't want to upset people with some disparate Mel Brooks opinions, I think I'm an outlier because I like all the movies everyone hates of his, and I don't like all the movies everyone likes.
Do people hate Mel Brooks movies? I find that hard to believe.
I don't know if I hate Spaceballs, but I really don't like it.
There have been better ones. It wasn't his best movie. I think Blazing Saddles and
I don't like Blazing Saddles either. I like
Okay,
young...
now we're
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Young Frankenstein's great.
Well, that's true.
But they are pulled over. They start to do the quote-unquote 2,000-pound man thing. But Homer is pulled over by Chief Wiggum because he had his blinker on.
Well, yeah, because it started blinking, and a blinking light's never a good thing, Chief Wiggum.
No, you gotta check that out. And he asks him for his limousine driver's license, and Homer tries to floor it with the car in park.
It's probably not very good for the engine.
Yeah, it did not work. He did not get away. And Chief Wiggum finds out he does not have a license. Wiggum carries a picture of Patty and Selma?
Apparently, he's like, you go down to the DMV, these two broads will help you out. And the picture of Patty and Selma.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's really strange.
Neither did I until it's run through. I'm like, wait a minute, why does he have a picture of them?
And then, because Homer is going, I guess, losing his mind a little bit here because he's going to have to do all that, Mel Brooks requests from Chief Wiggum that he can ride with him, but Chief Wiggum also requests to do, he calls it something else. He doesn't even call it the 2,000-pound man thing. He says some other thing, but he wants to be Mel Brooks, and Mel can be Carl Reiner, I forget.
Carl Reiner.
Yeah, then Mel Brooks is like, I hate Carl Reiner. Which I don't think that, I think they had a, I don't know. I don't know about their personal relationship. Bart, you know, back to him performing, he makes the bullies cry, everyone loves him. So he decides to reveal himself. He's like, what could go wrong? They're on my side now. They see the beauty of ballet. But that is entirely incorrect. Because he reveals himself, and they immediately turn on him and chase him. That seems like overkill a little bit,
right?
Chasing him away, but he runs and is managing to escape the bullies, but is confronted with a wide ditch, like 10 feet across, I would say.
Yeah, well, even 10 feet would be a lot, because Bart's short, so we forget how tiny. It was probably like 5 to 6 feet, and he thought he'd jump across it and failed miserably.
He failed miserably.
Looks like you took a pretty bad spill.
Well, as long as he's hurt.
Bart, I am so proud of you. You've shown a sensitive side of yourself that can never be erased. From this day forward, we are kindred spirits.
Why'd you just leave me here when I clearly need medical attention?
I mean, that is a valid complaint.
For real.
Everyone just left Bart in the bottom of a ditch after he just performed a ballet recital.
And was very hurt. Yeah. You don't help people who are hurt. You respect them, but you don't help them.
Of course not. Why would you want to help anybody? Homer is at the DMV. He is upset. He employs some sarcasm.
Stupid driving test at the stupid DMV where stupid Patty and stupid Selma work. Sometimes I think God is teasing me, just like he teased Moses in the desert.
Test it, Homer. God testing Moses. And try to be nice to my sisters. Very hard on me to have you fighting all the time.
Oh, okay, Marge. I'll get along with them. Then I will hug some snakes. Yes, I will hug and kiss some poisonous snakes. Now that's sarcasm.
He goes on his test, his limousine driver's test with Patty and Selma. We don't really see everything Homer does, but it doesn't seem to matter because they fail him regardless. Like, I think they just make up stuff when,
yeah.
Like, something about seatbelts, and he hits
the seatbelt's twisted.
Ah, that's right, it was twisted. He touches a cone. Therefore,
well, of course, you can't touch cones. Actually, you can't. I was actually docked a point for my driving test for nudging a cone.
You can nudge things out of the way in cars. That's one of the rules.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I tried to say.
If there's no damage, it's fine. I mean, that's why shopping carts you can nudge those.
Uh-huh.
You've never nudged a shopping cart?
I have on several occasions.
Okay, then. See? All right. I'm glad we're on the same page here, Matt. But he is He fails at the, like, I believe because he doesn't fill in one of the multiple choice circles all the way. I believe that is his final wrong answer that knocks him into failing territory, which honestly, if that is the thing that they had to, like, some technicality, Homer actually probably did pretty well on his test.
Right?
He probably would have been a successful, you know, limousine driver. But in the process of failing, Homer, Patty, and Selma are so excited about it, they need to smoke cigarettes. So they light up inside the DMV. Their boss catches them. And I don't know if they were going to fire them or if she was going to, like, demote them to back where they were. It's not necessarily clear. But Homer sees Marge in distress over this. And he sticks up for Patty and Selma, acting like the cigarettes are his. Both of them. Because he is in Flavor Country, and it is a big country. Patty and Selma are blown away by this.
I'm speechless. You just saved our hides.
Please, on top of everything else, don't make me picture your hides.
That's a wonderful thing you did for my sisters.
I didn't do it for them. I did it for you, Marge. I'd kill for you. Please ask me to kill for you.
No, homie. You see, this is the stuff I've been telling you about that you never see.
Homer, we're sorry. If there's anything we can do to make it up...
Call off the debt?
Or say we could let you pass your driver's test.
Call off the debt?
Well...
Debt's off. Let's go, Marge.
And that's how the episode ends. The debt just called off and everything's fine. Bart's still lying in a ditch somewhere. I don't know how I have complicated feelings about this episode, Matt, I think.
I don't know if I would call my feelings complicated, but I can see where you're coming from. It's good, but it's not spectacularly great. It's a very character focused episode, which can be good or bad. In this episode, I think, as we discussed before, it tends toward the bad, mainly because Patty and Selma really seem super petty in this episode. It's basically jerk Homer versus jerk Patty and Selma, where you know, Homer's not quite as bad in this episode, but Patty and Selma just seem to go out of the way to be rude to the extreme. And this episode actually has something that we've complained a lot about in the current season, The Simpsons, that just finished, in that the B plot feels completely disconnected in every way from the A plot. It just seems like a way to have filled time. And that doesn't tend to stick well and make an episode last a lot in your memory, because honestly, every time I see this episode, I completely forget about the Bart ballet subplot, because it's just completely memoryless. Susan Sarandon does a fantastic job as the ballet teacher, which I had no clue it was even her when I originally saw this, or for years afterwards. But it's just basically, hey, we got some time to fill. Let's throw Bart and Lisa in there a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I say complicated because, like you said, it is very character focused. Very, like, especially after just watching Bart Rush Australia, which is like completely off the rails insanity. This is very like grounded and very realistic, kind of just like character piece. And I feel like it nails Homer perfectly. Like Homer in this, I think, is like he wants to provide for his family. He's stupid, but he wants to provide for his family, and he's ashamed that he can't. You know, and he loves Marge, and he doesn't want to, like, make her, doesn't want to worry her or make her disappointed. And he puts up with all that stuff from Patty and Selma. And then, and the thing with, like, after Marge says he's a very complicated man and he smashes the plate on his head and says wrong. Like, I feel like that is all perfect. But the Patty, like, the fact that I just don't like the way they use Patty and Selma as foils for him. Like, it feels like it belongs earlier in the show, like, before Patty and Selma get some characterization. Like, this makes them, this kind of diminishes them as characters in a way, because I feel like this just makes them, you know, kind of just, like, one note. Hey, they hate Homer, and that, like, they relish his misery, which I'm sure, like, they enjoy, like, I feel like it takes a couple steps too far. Like,
go ahead. Well, it's one of those times in an episode where they basically boil a character down to their singular character or this one character trait that they have. Like Patty and Selma, at this point, like you said, we've seen not a fish called Selma, Patty and Principal Skinner and Selma and Sideshow Bob. Like, they are real people, essentially. But this episode, they focus on, hey, what's funny about Patty and Selma? They hate Homer. Let's have a whole episode about that. And where we don't get to see Patty and Selma be anything but mean, awful people. And that just, it seems to sell them short.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I like this episode. And like, I pulled, like going through it and pulling clips, I have 11 clips for this, which is like a lot. That is more than I do for many episodes, because a lot of it is like, I really enjoyed a lot of the bits and I really enjoyed the writing's really solid. It's just, I think that fundamental choice of characterization of Patty and Selma just kind of makes the episode, which I think could have been a great one. It kind of just makes it a good one.
Yeah, I would agree.
We will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode for this episode. But if you have a certain episode that is your favorite, please submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And I'll read it when we get to it on air. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group. I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. It's archived on Google Groups. You can find it there if you'd like to check it out yourself. And to see what people were talking about the week or two after an episode debuted. Not a bunch like of news stuff, you know, but a lot of wildly disparate opinions on this episode. Like,
that seems to be a very common trait of episodes that we now consider classics. I don't know if I consider this one a classic on the level of some of others, but it seems like people at first just go with their gut instinct, and for a lot of people that's wildly different.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's some people are like saying that this is another one of the stinkers from the season, but then other people are like, no, this is great. This is I love this episode. And I don't know. There's a lot of discussion in this about how people were complaining that the episode has kind of gotten more absurdist in this season and somewhat last season too. But and then this episode is very grounded, very real, more realistic episode, and people are still complaining. So there's people arguing about that. I'm like, why do you hate this episode? You posted earlier how this episode is how the season is bad because it's so, you know, unrealistic. When this is a realistic one, you don't like it. Blah 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 blah. It's internet. People complaining. Every week I get more and more respect to those creators of The Simpsons who are putting out amazing things and just getting pooped on.
That sucks, because back in those days, the internet was pretty much strictly for guys who could, you know, dial into news groups. So if The Simpsons writers wanted feedback rather than like the handwritten letters they got, this was the only place to go. And it's like if you were an internet content creator and you only read YouTube comments. That's just the worst life ever.
Don't read comments. I think that's advice, good advice for anyone on the internet all the time. Don't read the comments. Except for our Facebook posts. Comments that's on those true. Are actually
we have the
very,
best fans.
Very positive, very nice. I did also get a sneak peek at our next episode. Oh my god, I can't wait for how we feel. And people's thoughts about that were not seemingly not divided. It is that our next episode is A Star Is Burns, which guest stars The Critic. And people had feelings about that.
What?
I know, crazy. But we'll talk more about that next week. I just thought I'd mention it because some emotion there. We can move on to our next segment. Time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your quote-unquote favorite American moment? A lot of great answers. Some I was expecting, some I completely forgot about. Appreciate everyone's responses. First from Jason at Jet Pilot. Ooh, a fresh batch of America balls. Gotta like America balls. Robert at Barlow 2711. Immigrants. Even when it was the Bears, I knew it was the immigrants. At one word long. USA chants. Passionate and obliviously unrelated to the thing they're chanting about. Yes. I love you. As a wrestling fan, people will find lots of just inexplicable reasons to chant USA. Isaac at Isaac is good. Hey, America, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, America. it says fart noise, but I made the fart noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bart's.
I appreciate your commitment.
That's Bart's, was it improvised Pledge of Allegiance, I believe. SMC at Sam Moretta.
In one of the worst episodes of all time.
Oh, wow. All right. SMC at Sam Moretta. Singular answer. Springy. Springy, the mascot.
Springfield Spring.
Gotta love Springy. Abby's answer. I like to say this every July 4th, since it's my wedding anniversary. My husband appreciates it. Oh, this is the worst 4th of July ever. I hate America. That's really good. Jason, anytime the characters start chanting USA, 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 such as the kids learning who won World War II on the last day of school, when Homer gets to see Lisa's teacher on conference night, when her pal gets his wealth back with a baby translator, it's both a great satire of how the characters, and to some degree the audience, are dissociated from the meaning of words, and also such the sincere gut-level expression of joy and happiness. You can't help but feel good when you hear them launch into it. Very true. Jeff's answer. So right then, independence of your nation by blowing up a small part of it from somewhere 4'2".
Yeah.
Joanna from the PTA disbands. Lisa, if you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way. Because who hasn't done that at least once in their lives? I will. Yes. Justin from somewhere 4'2". Celebrate the independence of your nation by blowing up a small part of it. And finally, Nick. Abortions for all. Boo. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Boo! Abortions for some. Miniature American flags for everyone. Yay!
That's about right.
Yep. That sounds about right. That's America for you.
That'll be this year's election.
I've seen a lot. The CODIS and Kang running for president thing has... I think we've reached max capacity on that meme.
Yeah.
For our election, and it's not even... It's like June. We still have, like, was it 5 months to go? Dear Lord.
Yeah.
Matt, what is your answer?
I have to go with everyone else, or at least the two other people I remember saying this. Celebrate the birth of your nation by blowing up a small part of it, because that is the American way. Dang it.
I agree with you, Matt. My answer is the same.
Yeah, that's pretty much the most American thing I could think of in the entire show.
Yeah, every time.
No, although the half-ass working thing, that is a very close second.
I was going to say, like, my runner-up is probably from... Oh, what's the name of the episode? With Sherry Bobbins. The song.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. The song they sing, you know, about the American way, about how you do your work. That would probably be my runner-up, but just I don't think.
Although, also, there was in Much of Pooh About Nothing when he says, I'm a American where I'm free to something and something and charge whatever I want.
Yeah. There's some answers from that episode as well. But appreciate everyone's responses. Next week's question. What is your favorite Simpsons feud? Think about it. I'll post this question all our social media, facebook.com/thesimpsonshowpod, Twitter @simpsonshowpod. You can email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Post this question there on plus links and stuff to other Simpsons stuff that I see pop up in on the internet. At least things I think are cogent and haven't been retread 1,000 times. Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and stump the other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. And see who's... I would say smarter, but this is a very particular type of intelligence.
Yeah. Smarter doesn't really come into it. It's more who's dedicated to watching the seasons over and over and over again.
Who has the minute details of Simpsons imprinted on their brain. This season we have a wager for season 6. The host that does not win must mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. But I'm not going to be here most likely. We might have to either. We'll figure it out.
We can mail you a dress.
I'm almost certainly going to lose, but I don't know what we're going to have to do with that. We'll have to figure it out.
We can have you shovel snow off your driveway in a dress.
They have snow removal services where I'm going to live.
Damn it. Well, we'll figure something out.
I don't have a driveway.
Well,
I have a garage. The car would freeze solid if you put it in the driveway during the winter, if it does not have a heater.
And you're going to voluntarily live there. Have fun.
I'm excited. Matt, we have no theme this week. Start us off with an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question. What Star Wars star guests in Mayored to the Mob?
Be Luke Hamill. Mark Hamill. Not Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill. Not Luke Hamill. Mark Hamill. I immediately correct myself. Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill. Also, he's the Joker. Luke Skywalker is a character. Mark Hamill is the name of the actor. I corrected myself. Mark Hamill.
Indeed you did. All right.
Mark Hamill. Say one more time.
Your question.
Mark Hamill. Your easy question. I have a theme.
Uh-oh.
It's a very simple theme. What does Nelson do after someone has embarrassed or humiliated themselves?
I believe the phrase is, ha, ha.
I said ha, ha. Yeah, that is correct.
All right, sir. Your medium question. In I'm with Cupid, where does Apu get breakfast?
Oh, God. Cupid?
Mm-hmm.
What season is that from?
I'm not sure the season, actually. I'm with Cupid, where is it? It's like, I don't know. It's the one where Apu is doing all the nice things for Manjula and all the other guys are mad at him.
Yeah. Is it like the teens?
It is season 10, actually.
Oh, 10, okay.
Actually, all of these are from season 10.
Oh, God, season 10.
Oh, yeah.
He gets breakfast. God, I don't know. I have not seen the episode in forever. IHOP.
I'm sorry. He gets breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh. That is Simpsons writers, really? Really?
Hey, it was the late 90s by then, so, you know, that was a topical joke.
Why? Because it was in that one song in, like, 1994?
Yeah, exactly. That one's... Was that 94? Was it that old?
It's a pretty old song.
Oh, okay.
This one-hit wonder.
Exactly.
God. I'm still reeling from that. Oh, man. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Okay. Your medium question, Matt. In Sleeping with the Enemy, what is Nelson eating in the park when Marge finds him?
He is eating, I want to say it's like minnows. He's like trying to like shove them into his mouth and he tells them to get in his mouth.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Gonna have to say that's an incorrect answer, Matt. It is tadpoles, not minnows.
Oh, come on.
Not the same thing.
Yeah.
Not the same thing.
All right, fine. Your heart...
You haven't given me any mercy. I don't expect any.
All right. In Doan in the Wind, what organization is Homer trying to join when he realizes he doesn't know his middle name?
The Wind. What organization? No idea.
No idea.
No idea. I can't.
Screen Actors Guild.
Okay. SAG. All right. I don't remember.
Remember, he acted in the promotional film for the nuclear power plant.
Yes, I Matt, again, I've not watched those episodes in maybe since they've aired, at least most of them.
All right, so more trivia questions from season 10.
I've been watching season. Actually, I've been working on season 16. I've been trying to watch some to try and combat your evil ways, but not season 10. Your hard question. In Bart the General, what are the three articles we hear of the armistice Nelson and Bart agree to?
Let's see. Let's see. Okay, the Bart the General. It was that Nelson will not harm Bart. Nelson will remain a figurehead of menace in the neighborhood. And I can do this. What is the third one? I got nothing.
The three we hear. We have Article 4. Nelson is never going to raise his fists in anger.
Oh, of course.
Article 5. Nelson recognizes Bart's right to exist. Article 6. Although Nelson shall have no official power, he shall remain a figurehead of menace in the neighborhood.
So I get 1 point out of three, right?
No,
right?
You get 0 points.
Oh.
I'm not giving you any. I have to be cutthroat if I'm going to even I am 9 points behind you right now, Matt. Nine.
Uh-huh.
With like four or five episodes to go. How many episodes do we have to go? Not more than that. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight episodes to go. So I have to be like on top of everything and not give you an inch. Not one.
All right, if you say so. I'll make sure to do the same then.
No, Matt. No, you're supposed to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be a nice person. Nice, Matt.
No, that's not the way that works.
Come on, Matt. Nice. Be nice, man. Nice, man?
No. No nice man here.
We each get 1 point from that. We're so good. I think there's like a I'm gonna try it. We can after a while we can start kind of do an analysis on how the points work out throughout the seasons and try and see if there's some any trends at all. I do have some extra questions for you, Matt.
Oh goodness! All right,
these are from John. These are all about Homer's jobs. These are rapid fire. Okay, I want quick answers.
Okay.
What is Homer's title at the Springfield Power Plant?
Safety inspector.
Homer and Bart go into business selling grease, but were stopped by which company?
Krusty Burger.
Acne Grease Company, Acne Grease and Shovel Company.
Oh, yeah.
Farmer Homer is the brand name for what product Homer tries to sell?
Tobacco.
Sugar. What nickname does Homer gain when supplying Springfield with alcohol during Prohibition?
The Beer Baron.
Correct. Where is Homer's second job at when he buys Lisa a pony?
The Cookie Mart.
How is Homer chosen as an astronaut?
By default.
The best two words in the English language. Homer takes over Ray Patterson's post as Springfield's what?
Sanitation commissioner.
Correct. Homer goes on tour with Sonic Youth, Smashing Pumpkins, and Cypress Hill, exploiting what freakish talent?
His ability to get hit in the stomach with a cannonball.
Correct. In season 6, Homer and Grandpa go into business selling what?
Simpson and Sons Revitalizing Tonic.
That's correct. Before being promoted to his current job at the power plant, what is Homer's previous title?
Technical supervisor.
Correct. There you go. We finished strong.
I was trying to remember if it was supervising technician or technical supervisor, because one of those he wasn't.
True. You can send us themes or trivia questions, any of our previously mentioned social media places, and I will try and use them when I can. We can move on to our final segment, Matt. The segment we end every single episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever. Best episode ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Matt, where does this one go?
Oh, this is a tough one. Like you said, it could have been a great episode. Right now it's sitting at a good episode. Trying to see where our previous ones with Patty and Selma have gone, and they're, with the exception of Black Widower, they're not really towards the top.
Well, we haven't had a fish called Wanda yet. Or Selma?
A fish called Selma.
Selma.
Yeah.
Even in the titles, I get them confused.
Right? I'm looking somewhere in the upper 20s to lower 30s.
I was actually looking at Secrets of a Successful Marriage as a good comparison point.
Yeah, because really this episode is less so about Homer and Patty and Selma, and more about Homer and Marge, and how much Homer, you know, cares about Marge, and how much he does everything he can strictly to essentially be worthy of her.
Yeah, so I mean,
in that case, it's very comparable.
Well, I mean, they're both mostly grounded in reality. You know, it's mm-hmm. about relationships. It's not like, you know, absurdist stuff. Although the episode right behind it is Bart Gets an Elephant. not necessarily.
AKA one of the best episodes ever. I'm still not sure why it's so low.
Let's see. Well, I would say it's in between Homer Badman and Secrets of a Successful Marriage. I would put it in that tier.
A little lower
than you were trying to. I don't know where you were. I don't think it's.
I was looking at like Stark Raving Dad or Bart's Inner Child, but you're right. It does fit more with those. Yeah, because I mean, Homer the Clown, Homer the Vigilante, Homer at the Bat, all better episodes than this. So, I think I would probably put. I probably put it above Homer Badman, right below Boy Scouts in the Hood, because A Streetcar Named Marge and Boy Scouts in the Hood are both really good episodes that generally tend to suffer from one or two minor flaws. And I think this episode tends to be in a similar vein. It could have been a really good episode, but they just basically, I think we agreed that the distilling of Patty and Selma down to the single character trait really knocks them as characters and kind of detracts from a better episode.
I think I can cotton to that. Number 30. Yeah, I can cotton to it. It is number 39 on our list. Homer versus Patty and Selma. Hear me typing it in. That'll be right above Homer Badman and right below Boy Scouts in the Hood. New number 39. Cape Fear, still number one on our list. How long can it hold on to that spot?
Apparently until season 10, according to you.
No, not season 10. Probably. We'll see. I don't want to tip our hand too much. Homer's Odyssey is in last place at 113. It will be supplanted at some point. There are worse episodes than that, for sure.
There are, indeed.
What is our next episode, Matt? I've already mentioned it.
Indeed you have. It is A Star is Burns. Crossover with The Critic.
Star is Burns. That is a man getting
hit. You have complicated feelings about this
episode. I was going to say, but it does have man getting hit in crotch with football.
Correct. Indeed.
Yeah, it does. So immediately, new number one on best episode ever list. We'll just put it there now. We can just, you know, and, you know, move it down maybe two spots. Certainly top five. It has man getting hit in crotch with football. Groin. It's groin, not crotch. Groin. Getting hit in groin with football. Groin is a funnier word, I think, than crotch.
It's true. It's classier and funnier.
It's like underpants. You know, you always say underpants.
Yeah.
Let me see. Am I forgetting anything? I don't think so. Oh, yeah. You can find this list at our website, thesimpsonshow.com. Find links to all our new episodes where you can download or stream them. Links to this list by season and overall, plus a Treehouse of Horror segments section where we break down the Treehouse of Horror by segment, rank them. And you can find links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, and to our Patreon. If you think the show is worth a couple dollars, we appreciate any support you can give us. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterTrio. That's MixMasterTrio. And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided that in an attempt to help Robbie move in, I will be trekking to the Great White North. So I will be lost in the snowdrifts for the next few weeks. So if you need me, make sure to send a raven.
A raven?
Indeed, that's how they communicated back in olden times. Maybe a pigeon, you know, if you really want to.
I thought you were going.
You can still find the right pigeons.
I felt like you were going to Game of Thrones thing with a raven.
Well, a little bit, you know, snowdrifts, ravens. It's very Game of Thrones.
Winter is coming.
It always is, yeah. Especially in Canada,
especially in Edmonton. I think we can call it a day with that, folks. I'm Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and keep watching the Simpsons.